The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Back. Final hour has arrived, and more of your phone calls are welcome. And let's check in next with Mitch. Good afternoon. Hey, Mitch.
Look, Paul, how are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I never rant without your permission. Can I have a few minutes to rant?
Be my guest.
I think it's time for you to remind the Pluto Six or the Venus Six or whatever they call themselves that they're on Earth still. You need to suspend, not anybody from calling, but you should suspend that private phone number that you've let them have, because they take for granted their ability to call in. And when they call in, they don't appreciate the fact that most of us callers have spent 3-4 hours trying to dial in, to get in, and then we have to wait 30-40 minutes sometimes to talk to you. So maybe they need to remember what it's like to be, you know, a normal caller, because they could never call again, and your show is still going to be superb because of people like Cindy and people that call in with true heart-wrenching stories. Because that's what this show's about now, and I don't know that you ever planned for it to turn this way. But that's what it's about now. It's family and people caring about each other. And I'm going to tell you something. That boy up there in Columbus, Ohio, he's a part of that three-headed monkey. They're all trying to prop each other up.
Yeah, first of all, I agree with you in many respects. I think the show has changed, and I think, you know, I think it started around the time of COVID. And I appreciate everyone who has called in, and I appreciate all those. And I hear the criticism. I'm not blind to what people say about this show, and because I think that's how you understand what you're doing better. But I do like where we're going. It's not the same crazy insanity that it was maybe 10 years ago, but it was never going to be once we went to a national show.
But that's what they're fighting. And all three of them, I'll say this, Legend, until he showed out this week, I've never had a problem with him, because he at least would call in about Alabama. The other two always wanted to make it about them.
Well, I'll defend Legend, too. I mean, Legend is passionate. He knows what he's talking about. One of them is just a complete loser.
It's always got to be about them.
Yeah, and that's really the big issue. The show is about all of us. It's not about anyone in particular.
And I've got a saying now. You got to listen to it. But I've got a saying for these Alabama fans that are talking about spreading snot on the field when they beat Georgia and all that. There's an old saying. Now listen to it, and you'll get the meaning. You think you're hot snot on a china plate, but you're nothing but a wet booger on a paper plate.
Wow.
Do you understand what it's saying?
Yeah, I get the meaning. I sure do.
And that's what's going on right now with these people that want to make excuses. Clemson got the tar beat out of them when Georgia beat them, and Alabama got the tar beat out of them when Georgia beat them. And that's just the end of the story.
Well,
you have a good day, Uncle Paul.
You bet. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much. Well, let's continue with more phone calls, and Wade is up next. Hey, Wade.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
Been, I've been a huge fan of you. I actually had some questions in mind, but I went blank listening to these folks before me. It sounds like I'm at a Thanksgiving dinner. Like half of my family's Auburn and the other half Alabama. And the first time I heard the name Feinbaum, it was actually my grandmother using profanity because you picked Auburn to beat Alabama one year. And so then I started researching, who is this Feinbaum guy? And first time I actually laid eyes on you, you were sitting around the news desk back in the day looking at your little device beeper or whatever it was when Alabama was hiring Nick Saban, and nobody was for sure, but you were sitting there anyway waiting on news. And I mean, I listened to you through some horrible times. I mean, that's joy and sadness when I went through divorce, death. I was listening to you the day the guy called in telling everyone that he poisoned the trees. I was listening in the parking lot at my job.
That was about 11 years ago. Harvey Updike.
Yes. The little guy that was upset all the time that used to call from Enterprise or New Hope, Alabama, threatening to whip you all the time. And my goodness. I can't remember the guy's names, but I had to be at work at 4 o'clock in the evening, but I would get to work early to sit in the truck and listen to it. It was like you just said a few moments ago, 10, 12 years ago, it was the Wild West on here, and you're still going. And you did live here, so I will claim you. So,
well, no, listen, I lived in Alabama for more than 30 years. I still, when I had to get a driver's license for another state, it pained me.
Yes, I was actually. Just I've been listening to these people for so long, and this is the first time I ever, you know, dialed your number. But I just feel like this is going to turn into an episode of Days of Our Lives. I just I live 2 miles, not to bring up anything horrible, but it's just how everybody's connected. It's funny. I was actually stuck in traffic the day that Miss Tammy had her accident, and that's about 2.5 miles from where I live. And I know exactly where she lived.
Yeah, I used to live not too far from there myself.
Right. My grandparents lived in Rockford. They're buried there. I live in Childersburg. That's about it. I thought I had a question, but just speaking to you is good enough.
Wade,
I don't have anything to say about an injury or anything like that. So I'm fine.
You call anytime. Enjoy the conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you very much,
Paul. Have a good day.
You bet. JB is up next. Hey, JB.
Hey, Paul, you there?
I sure am. Thank you.
Okay, great. Good to talk to you again on this new year. I just got a couple of things. You know, you ever seen Winnie the Pooh?
As a child. Oh,
and you know the character Eeyore, the sad donkey?
Sure, absolutely.
Does Mitch not give off Eeyore vibes every time he calls the show?
That is funny.
I have never heard him call out of just, you know, like the guy that just called before, that was a great call. You try to call and you try to talk about, you know, happiness and positivity. And Mitch, God bless him, I've just never, you know, heard him be happy. But that's not what I want to talk about. I kind of want to talk about Fred and Daryl. Daryl calls him your number one leg humper, Augie. Augie, basically what he did, it's sort of like beating on a helpless kid. Fred is helpless, and I'm an Alabama fan. You know that. We've talked, we've met in person, you know, before a couple times, and most Alabama fans aren't Fred. Just like I would think most Georgia fans aren't Red Dog, who's an absolute idiot. You know, Fred was dumb and has no logic, and Red Dog, you know, you swing enough times, eventually you're going to hit something, and he hit something, and they won the national championship. But I would say most of us aren't in the same belief as Fred. You know, we understand that football is a game of injuries. Football is a game of luck sometimes, and it just wasn't our night, and that is what it is. But Fred doesn't speak for the majority of Alabama fans, as I think, you know, you understand.
No, of course I understand that, and I know we get accused of making too much out of it, but yeah, you couldn't. His call was like rubbernecking at a train wreck. I mean, you couldn't take your eyes off of it.
And that's the good thing that you do about this show is, you know, it's like watching a dead frog just die. You kind of poke at it and poke at it and poke at it, and eventually he croaks, and that's what Fred did. But you know, like I said, I like, when I call, I like talk about golf a little bit. And you were gone for about a week, and you were gone the week that Tiger and Charlie played at the PNC
right.
and just, you know, absolutely blew our minds with how cool it was to watch a little 12-year-old captivate, you know, our hearts. I mean, how much fun was that watching?
It was great. And I find it interesting with Tiger. And it happens with age, but the metamorphosis of his career from, you know, the guy who was the gunslinger to all the things he's overcome to now just a beloved figure that anything you see from him is appreciated.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, obviously great to talk to you. Talk to you later this week. See you, buddy.
Thank you very much. You call again. Let's check in with Kenny, who is in Houston. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I want to talk about this Legend thing. Legend's really smart, and I like. I'm an Alabama fan. I think he's really smart. He got his feelings hurt because everybody's picking on him, and it seems like that Darryl, he's just overly zealous, hating on him, and. Ah, man, he don't make any sense. I mean, at least the Legend makes sense, you know. I mean, yeah, we lost the game, but yeah, we had all those receivers out, you know. And I knew when Bryce started trying too hard in the end and throwing those interceptions, he probably just should have run the ball. We might have could have still done better. But those last two touchdowns, you know, that was just a product of him trying too hard. We'll be back next year. Heck, we won 50% of the games out of the last 14. We got 7 in 14 years. We're going to be back. The dynasty's not over. Yeah.
Of course not. No, I mean that's. I mean, you think about all those schools that fired coaches and had terrible years, and Alabama fans are fretting over not being able to win its eighth title in 14 years.
Right. Yeah, I thought we were going to win it. I thought we were going
to
win it. I really did because we won that first one. But
yeah, I mean there was every reason.
Go ahead.
No, it was every reason to think that until you started wondering about this Alabama team and, you know, some of the games they had played poorly. But anyway, none of that matters. The game's over. Thanks for the call. We are coming back with a guest and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back, and it is always great to welcome Peter Stoddard back to our program. We have talked to him in the past about his books, one in particular about Louis Grizzard and so much else, and a longtime dog fan. Peter, it is good to have you on, especially 3 days after one of the most momentous moments in Georgia history. How are you, and how are you reacting to Georgia being the national champion?
I, I am great, Paul. I've got to thank you for having me back on. This is the third time, and it's always a surreal experience. Inevitably, people that I've known from grade school reach out to me, and they're inevitably Paul Feinbaum fans or Louis Grizzard fans or both, and they ask, how did an idiot like you get on the Paul Feinbaum show? And I just tell them straight up, I've never met Paul in person, so he doesn't know what an idiot I am. But it's been an amazing few days, and I anticipate your question, you know, what might Louis Grizzard say about...
Yeah, I think that was going to be next.
I always get in trouble when I try to channel Louis Grizzard. But I can safely say he would have opened with two words after Monday's game, glory, glory. And that would be an homage to a book that he wrote with Lauren Smith about the 1980 national championship season. And last week I looked up whatever I could find that Louis Grizzard wrote about Indianapolis, and I could find very little, but I did find this. He said he had attended an Indianapolis 500, the annual celebration of human insanity, and this was nothing like that, and the this that he was referring to was the 1980 national championship game in New Orleans. I was there. But Lewis said he saw grown men cry. He met Notre Dame fans. One lady said after the outpouring of emotion from Georgia, if it means that much, I'm glad that they won. To my knowledge, no Bama fan said that on Monday night in Indianapolis. But I am told that Bama fans were by and large gracious, and that is to their credit. Back to New Orleans, Lewis was with Barbara and Vince Dooley and a priest from Notre Dame University, the 1980 opponent. And Vince and Barbara asked the priest not to pray for a Notre Dame victory in that game. And the priest said, my God does not care about the outcome of college football games. And Barbara Dooley came back with, well, my God sure does. Go Dogs. And that probably earned a kiss on the lips from Louis Grizzard when she chimed in with that. Let me defer to you again, Paul, to ask some questions if you wish.
Sure. No, listen, we just were curious because I, you know how I feel about Lewis, and I read so many of his columns about the Dogs. And unfortunately today, Peter, there's just nothing quite like that anymore. And I just couldn't help but walking out of the stadium on Monday night thinking about Lewis and all the people that he touched and still touches many, many years later.
Well, you're fading out, but I pretty much understand where you're going. What's interesting is I sent to Daniel, I know we're on radio only now, but I sent to Daniel, your producer, a photo of Louis Grizzard and Bear Bryant together side by side, and Bear is looking very dapper, I should say. He's got a broad grin on his face, and Lewis is wearing the Bear's houndstooth fedora, and Lewis has a bit of a smirk on his face. And I think that is from an episode when they were at a small airport in poor weather. Neither of them like to fly very much at all, especially on a small plane in foul weather. So they agreed to to go hole up in a motel for better weather the next morning, and Lewis vowed to drink only beer all night so that he could remember what might have happened that night, and the bear was drinking brown whiskey, and regardless of what happened, Lewis claimed to not remember much the next day, but posting that photo around, and I can't remember where I got the photo, and I can't find it on the internet, but I'm joking now that up in heaven the bear gave Lewis a wedgie, because Lewis up in heaven just keeps barking and yelling, "Go dog!" and how about those hairy dogs? And angels up in heaven are getting annoyed. And the sad truth is, Lewis kind of enjoys the wedgie that the bear has given him. But I truly believe that the bear and Lewis became friends over time. I have not a whole lot of evidence of that. But I can go back to New Year's Eve before the 1980 championship game, 1981. Lewis was in the French Quarter with an entourage of friends, and he had obviously been to New Orleans a bunch of times, and he was with either his girlfriend or his fiance or his wife at the time. And in the French Quarter, he commandeered a Lucky Dog cart. If anybody's been to New Orleans in the French Quarter, Lucky Dogs are carts that sell unique hot dogs, and they're on almost every corner in the French Quarter. And Lewis's wife, fiance, girlfriend at the time had never been to New Orleans, and on New Year's Eve, that was not her idea of a good time in New Orleans, so she stormed off. And Lewis essentially had to up the offer over and over again to the Lucky Dog stand franchise owner, whatever you might call him. And Lewis probably paid him a year's worth of income, and he commandeered the Lucky Dog. And for the rest of the night, he sold Lucky Dogs. One gal came up, probably a Notre Dame fan, ordered a Lucky Dog with some relish, and he said, "I don't have any relish." And she demanded relish, and he said, "Lady, I ain't got no relish. It doesn't come with the stand." And she said, "Well, the guy down the corner has some relish." And she, Lewis said, "Well, then take your carcass down the corner to get a Lucky Dog with relish from that vendor." And he basically sold Lucky Dogs all night long. And what he did that night, he had to go back to his room, I think at the Hotel Sonesta, where people had to send him back up to his significant other in the room. And he knew she would be not pleased. And everybody just said, "Lewis, she'll be asleep. Just get back up there." The following night, after the dogs won, the account is a little blurry. I think he was up in Vincent Barbadulli's suite again at the Hotel Sonesta, but Lewis occasionally wrote that he was at the Howard Johnson's. So the lines are blurred, but to cut to the chase, for dogs fans worldwide, this is the weight of the world off of our shoulders, and I can't quite imagine how Lewis would articulate his glee at this. I mean, he would toss in some Larry Munson. He would toss in some Irk Russell. We can all envision all of them raising adult beverages up in heaven after this game result.
Peter, we'll leave it there because we're running out of time. But thank you so much for joining us. It was great to remember back to another time, and we will talk to you soon. And we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back, final 30 minutes of our program, and we appreciate you being here. And Cheerleader is up next.
Yeah.
Hey there, Cheerleader.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Listen, first of all, I didn't tell the screener this, but we've got to congratulate Reese for picking the winner of the championship game.
You're right. She got it. Only one in the group.
She got it right, and hadn't she gotten only three wrong?
That is correct.
I did not get to hear Legend, but it sounded like he was really ranting at you and that he was pretty mad or something. But, you know, I've never heard Legend talk like that to you or really to anybody other than being passionate over Alabama. And I just hope he's well. I wish him well, and I wish we could win all the time, but, you know, we can't. We've got a great coach and a great team, and Georgia won, and congrats to them. And changing the subject, I read on a tweet that Paul Tyson was going through the portal. Did you read that?
Yeah, I think he's been thinking about it for some time, and he won't be back.
He's probably not going to get to play. Left. Are you happy today, Paul? Are you a happy boy?
You better believe it.
Okay. Well, listen, Roll Tide, congrats to them. Listening to you all the time and Legend. Hope you're okay, man. Bye-bye.
Thank you. When a cheerleader asks you if you're a happy boy, that's I don't know what that means. Let's go to Pat in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking the call. Did you know that you can adopt an elephant symbolically online for $12 a month and help in an endangered species, basically the Alabama fan, survive? Are you aware of that?
I was not, but I'm thinking about seeing if I can afford the $12.
On another note, I have a very good story to tell you about Louis Grizzard, and you would appreciate it. When he was the sports editor for the Athens Banner Herald back in the late 60s. He interviewed Vince Dooley on a Friday night before the really big South Carolina game. And Vince Dooley broke the news to him. Are you familiar with a legendary defensive cornerback, number 58, Happy Dix?
Pat, for the sake of this story, I am going to say no.
All right. Anyway,
you know otherwise.
Well, Happy Dix dated my wife's sorority sister. Anyway,
right.
Vince broke the news that Happy Dix was not going to be able to play in the South Carolina game on Saturday. So Lewis, over several adult beverages, wrote up his article for the Athens Banner Herald. And just on a lark, he wrote the headline for the Athens Banner Herald, never thinking that the editor would print it. Do you have any idea
I know
what the headline was?
I do. So I'm gonna play dumb here, but I've seen this in one of Lewis's books. Go ahead.
Dogs play cocks with dicks out.
One of the all-timers, I mean, you always gamble when you put cocks in headlines, but when you mix it with that, it's an all-timer. I guess the editor was asleep at the wheel, huh?
I guess so. Listen, I really enjoyed Fred's call today. Beverly and I were both in the car coming home, and we just howled for the entire dialogue that you had with Fred from Alabama.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you got a chance to hear that, Pat. That call will be played for a long time. Chris is up next. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. Listen, I love your theme song, and I think it's one of the best ones on TV, ranked up there with Hawaii Five-O and Good Times and All in the Family.
Those are some good ones right there.
But what is Taylor going to do to incorporate Texas and Oklahoma?
He's working. I saw Taylor recently, and he is going to revise the song when they are officially coming over. So you can be assured, and not until they're here. We don't want to infringe any Big 12 bylaws and get fined, but it will be a different song.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call. You have a good night. Roll Tide.
Thank you very much. Greg is up next in Birmingham. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a long-time listener. This is my first time calling under my name. I've called under my alias a few times. But I wanted to call and be me today because I wanted to thank you, man. It was something you said yesterday. I couldn't get in yesterday. The lines were tied up. But it was about not having to go to a school to cheer for a school. I got family ties to Alabama. I didn't go to Alabama. I graduated from Jacksonville State University, but my brother went on a full scholarship to Alabama back in 2001. I was about 8 years old at the time, man, and I went to every single Alabama game for 5 seasons straight. If anyone's wondering how that's possible, he was redshirted the first year, so we still got to go. We went to 5 seasons worth of games, but man, if you go to those games when you're 8 years old, it does something to you, Paul. It does something to you. So I'm 28 years old. Most people my age are new age Alabama fans, but I like to consider myself a seasoned Alabama fan. Cause I've been, I can remember getting permission from my mom to sing the Rammer Jammer song after we beat someone, man. It's nothing like it. I can remember walking to the stadium and my mom had on a jersey, number 5 on the back, and it said mom, and people just giving us food, giving us drinks, just cheering at us, man. It just does something to you, Paul. And that's when I realized I bleed crimson red. So I thank you for saying what you said the other day about not just having to go to a school to actually cheer for a school. Because I know a lot of people think that, and I disagree wholeheartedly with it.
Yeah, you know, Greg, I'm glad you said that. It's something I've always felt very strongly about. And I just get, I mean, there. Every fan base has a certain elitist group of people, and maybe because I had a lower middle class upbringing, and it wasn't that easy for me to go to college because my dad had died, and my mother had to scrape money together, and I had to get scholarship money, otherwise I couldn't have done it. That I just hate that, and because so many people love a university. Because that's they grow up and that's the school of choice. It's just the wrong approach. And I'm glad to hear what you said. I mean, you were fortunate. Your brother had a scholarship. You went to a good school. Jacksonville State's a very good school. But we both know many, many people that because of circumstances way beyond their control, they had no chance of ever going to one of those schools that we cheer for.
Very true. Very true. I also want to refer back to Nick's rant a few weeks back when he was talking about these new age Alabama fans. Again, I don't associate myself with them, although I am the same age as them. But I kind of want to correct Nick on something too, man. He said back then we used to be happy to win a game, but man, we used to go to the Cotton Bowl and things like that. We used to go to a bowl game all the time, man. But that being said, I want to Alabama. I think they set the standard in every way, man. Back when my brother was there, all right, he was a freshman in 2001, a redshirt in 2001. He was recruited by Mike DuBose, who was there in 2000. In 2001, he had a brand new coach, Dennis Franchione. 2 years after that, Mike Price, and then he ended with Mike Shula. I don't remember. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's because I was young, but I don't remember schools firing coaches like that until Alabama did so and ended up with Nick Saban. They literally almost fired a coach every year or every 2 years until they found Nick.
Yeah, but you know something. You know something about what you said a minute ago, Greg. I covered Coach Bryant's last 2 years, so you know how long I've been around Alabama, and I don't care what the record is. Alabama fans have never accepted mediocrity, even when Shula was there, other coaches were there. They expected to play for a championship, and I used to just laugh because you'd say, well, hey, somebody would call me and say, what do you think? I said, I think Alabama would be lucky to have a winning season, and they go, you're out of your mind. We're going to win it all, and they were serious.
Very, very. Last thing.
Well, I am glad to hear from you, Greg. You take care of yourself. Thanks for sharing your story. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.